Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark, Sam and Hugh. And our guests this week are Stephanie and Danny. I was going to say Bethany there. I'm sorry. And they're going to give us a little bit about their story and where it started and what countries we visited.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Steph, where are you from?
I'm from, I was born on the East Coast. I was born in Massachusetts and grew up the first 10 or so years of my life there. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Northern California back in the early 80s. And then I moved to LA. So I've been in LA for the last 15 years or so.
Cool. And Danny, whereabouts are you from?
I'm born and raised here in Melbourne.
Right, cool. So, and you've been travelling a lot as well.
I have. I've spent the last 10 or so years abroad. Spent some time in London, Italy, the US, and Canada as well.
Do you speak Italian?
Un po.
You can order beer, basically, is it?
Yeah.
Beer and pasta. Go back to where you grew up, Stephanie, in a small town in Massachusetts. You said it was a small town of, 300 people or so?
Yeah, about 300 people. Yeah. There was not a stoplight to be seen, no sidewalks. There were cars, no, just goats. We just rode. It was a very, very small town. My third grade class had about 7 or 8 people in it. So it was quite small, but it was good. It was conservative. Town, but it was nice to grow up. It was a good place to grow up.
So was that like a farm based then, or what was the?
It was like a little. It was a colonial town. Right. So the big white church in the middle of the town, and everybody knew each other, of course, in the congregational church.
Yeah. Did everyone go to church on a Sunday?
Yes, because it was a big social event. Of course, you did. Yeah.
Did you dress up and
get a little bit of that wine in the little cup? Yes, that was it. And part of the choir and the whole thing. It was a congregational church, so we didn't have enough people to have a bunch of churches. So we just had one church, and everybody was there.
All the different denominations would be in the
Would
church.
Go there. Oh. Yeah, absolutely. So that was good.
When you get a mixed denomination like this, what minister does the church? Who takes the service?
It was just our local father,
He wasn't necessarily Catholic or Protestant.
I don't remember that at all. He just had the big, smock thing and had a cross. And so I don't really know, actually. It's a good question. But I was young, when I moved away from there.
So at the age of 10, you then moved to Northern California?
Northern California, And then we lived in San Jose. It was a big Silicon Valley boom of the 80s.
So is that how you ended up moving there?
My uncle actually had done, created a diskette. And it was kind of sad because it was, we all went to a 3.5 inch.
5.5, 3.25.
And he did the 3.5. So it was really big for a while, but then after that it was kind of phased out. So things had happened. My mom and dad divorced and my father passed, and so my mom moved out to Silicon Valley because there was more opportunity out there. She was a stay-at-home mom before, and things just changed really fast.
So what was that like, moving from small town sort of Massachusetts to Silicon Valley?
It was hard initially, but it was, I can imagine, I have a couple friends from back in the small town all got pregnant, and not, there's not much to do in that small, have church only
obviously
takes you so far. Yeah, exactly. So it was good. I didn't love San Jose, but San Francisco is beautiful and it was very close.
Yeah.
Lived in Santa Cruz for a while, which is really close. It's a beach community right near.
Did it take you a little bit of time to adjust to a faster life?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. The McDonald's right down the street, you know, it used to be about 2 hours away. That's actually all I remember. Yeah. but it was, all the schools were massive and there was, you know, you could actually reach out and touch the house next to you from our window. And that took a lot of time to get used to, just the sheer numbers.
A little bit of claustrophobia there.
Yeah, a little bit. But it was interesting. I mean, it was interesting. There was more to see and more to do. And as I was getting older, I appreciated that.
So what was school life like, going from a small school with seven people to suddenly, probably a school with thousands?
Yeah, I think there were about 1,600 people in our high school. I don't know if that's big or small here, but it was good. It was nice to meeting all those different people of different ethnicities and different cultures and different backgrounds, and it was really, I found it was really good.
Cool.
How did you and Danny meet?
Danny and I met in London in 2000. I was living with, I had gone over to London to work. I had graduated from UCLA, and I had gone over to London to work, and I was, I had met her, one of her friends, a gentleman that I ended up being flatmates with in London, and he said, "Oh, my friend's coming over," and you really get along with her. You know, you guys have, you know, very similar personalities, and I think you guys get along like a house on fire. And I said, "Oh, it's good. I look forward to meeting her."
Yeah.
And then she came out, and we lived in the same house together, and it was fantastic. It was we went out and did the London thing. It was fun.
Right.
And then her and I went traveling for about 3 weeks at the end of my stay there. And
one thing we should probably clarify at this point is, both of you had boyfriends at the time.
We were both heterosexual. Yes,
that was
completely.
Yes. Way of saying it.
No, I'd never been with one before, and neither had she.
So and if so I could just button there.
Yes. It's really good, right?
You both had boyfriends.
Yeah.
So your initial meeting was just friends.
Yes, just friends.
Okay.
We were living together. And I was living, when I had gone overseas, I had had a boyfriend that I had left in Los Angeles. Mm. And he was staying back there. He knew I was going to go to London, and he knew that I was, you know, going to be over here. So it was, we were together, but not together,
yes,
if you know what I'm saying. We knew there was going to be things happening. But I knew that I was going to go back to him after I had my time in London.
So he was quite happy that you had met Danny and you became good friends. Just friends.
So we went traveling in about a week.
So you went traveling as friends.
We went traveling as friends and about halfway in through France, like by the time we got to Nice.
Oh, so it was France that did it. Wasn't it?
Everything was nice,
the romantic
if you know what I'm
friends.
Saying. Yeah, yeah. And it was, by the end of the trip, we ended in Rome, and it was like, oh my gosh, it was about, 3 weeks of this romance.
Whoa,
whirlwind. Oh, it was gorgeous. Yeah. And then, but I'm straight. So what? So So then I had gone back to, I'd finished the trip and went back to LA.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Let's go back to Danny and Stephanie's story.
Yeah. So before the break, we were talking about you going on your holiday, and halfway through the holiday, it became more than friends on holiday.
Yes.
So how did the realization of that happen?
Well, it was, you know, when you think you're this certain person, you've got this idea of who you think you are, and then something comes up and totally changes that. I found it took a while to really adjust. So going back, we'd finished up our travels, and I'd gone back to Los Angeles to go back to my life that I had set up, that I was going to be and do. And
back to your boyfriend?
Back to my boyfriend. Yeah. And it, went on. So I was with my boyfriend, and we were in a relationship, and we'd stayed in a relationship for quite a few years.
Mm-hmm. But how did you feel, Danny? During all this time, you had a boyfriend as well.
At the beginning, I didn't, but in the same boat as Steph, as that, I'd always understood myself to be heterosexual, and so it was a very new experience for me as well. I was single at the time that we had first got together in Europe, and then spent a little bit more time travelling back to London, spent some time in Canada, and then when I moved back to Australia after, it was just, I just realised that this probably was not going to work for us, especially with the distance and then everything else that was involved. And so I picked up a relationship back here in Australia and was in that relationship for a couple of years, and that was very serious. And, thinking that, again, that was going to be my life as well. But there was always that pull that was there. And so my father lived in Los Angeles, and I would come back to visit Steph probably about once a year or once every 6 months in that three-year period that we were apart. And, the romance continued.
Was it difficult having two areas in your life going at the one time?
It was very, very difficult. And I think, for me personally, I just got to a place of separating it. And which I look back on that now, I don't know how I possibly did that. I could never do that now. And it was almost, I was living a double life, I suppose. Yeah.
Do you think you were doing that to maybe keep the parents and the friends happy, and the other life was for you?
To a degree, but I think, like Steph, it probably took me a good long while to figure out that, that this was my life journey, and Steph was, my soulmate, and that's who I wanted to be with. So it was more of a longer awakening or a realisation for me as well.
So after that 3 to 4 year period where you were back in Melbourne and Steph, you were still living in LA, what happened after the 4 year period?
Well, at this point I was engaged to be married. Danny, I get this call from Danny, and she's received a scholarship to go study overseas to finish up her master's degree. And she had a choice between Columbia and UCLA. And I was hoping UCLA, but in the same sense, I was looking at, it was going to be...
A decision had to be made.
It had to be made. And she had said, I remember the call, and she said, I'm going to UCLA. And I put down the phone and I just said, oh my goodness, my life is going to change and everything is going to be turned upside down. And I just knew at that moment it was just going to be a massive, massive change. And I had to look myself in the eye, And so...
And how long was it from that phone call before you arrived there, Danny?
She was there in the couple months, she was there for a couple months. She spent about 5 months there. By the end of the 5 months, we were together. I mean, it was like we took a lot of trips away together, and our friends were like, why can't we come along? And we're like, no.
So one thing I was thinking as well, did you find that was kind of like you were really happy that you'd confronted it and finally come out as you, or did you find that at the point of when you knew it was coming, you had to really become, I suppose, that one life, and that was what you were going to be doing? Did you find that quite confronting? Or
I did, just because I found it confronting because I had just always seen myself in a certain way. And the certain way all my friends and family had seen me in a certain way. And then I'd become this other person. And it had taken a while for me to get used to it. Mm-hmm. And so for my friends and family to see it, And most friends handle it really, really well. I would say most of them were very happy. They'd already seen us together. Mm-hmm. And it was good. I'd had a couple friends, one specifically, that really didn't approve of the situation. Mm-hmm. And of course, my mom... this history there, but my mom really did not approve, and I've got family members that don't approve.
So the
more they're religious.
The boyfriend you had at the time, yes. Did you still talk to him afterwards? Did you become good friends, or what happened there?
Well, between this so Danny had a fiance as well when she had come over.
Oh, wow.
So we both were. That was
it. So did
it.
They just get together as well? And
I know. What a nightmare. We'd never ever do that again. But it all went through that. He No, he was not happy. Not happy. And it was like a slap, you know, in the face. Of course, he had seen me in a certain way for years. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you know, it was out, and I told him. And it was shocking and sad and angry. And so he had done all of that, you know, really, all of that. But her fiancé kind of was, it was a different sort of
When you say you're a fiancé, were you actually in the stages of planning the wedding and stuff as well?
We were about 4 months away.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do, I can do this. I can, I am this person. I can, you know, and but then when I had spent the time with Danny, I just realized I couldn't, this was my soulmate and this is who I had to be with and for everybody involved. And he is now very happy.
He's happy that you're happy.
I think. On Facebook, he looks really happy. he looks really happy.
Has he found someone else to marry?
Yeah. Yes, he's married a good Catholic girl.
Okay.
Good. And he's moved back east and looks like...
So you're still in contact then, obviously, through Facebook.
Facebook. And,
but he hasn't blocked you or anything.
So no, he's not blocked me, no.
What about you, Danny? What happened with your fiancé?
Well... He's here in Melbourne, so I hope he's not listening. No, we're, you know, it was, again, very difficult as well. But we've still been able to remain friends.
That's good.
So that's good. It's taken a very long time, but we've caught up on a couple of occasions. Mm. And I think he understands
As best as he can.
As best as he can, yeah, exactly.
I suppose really, I mean, it must have been terrible for both of your fiancés when you told them. I mean, just to understand the situation must have been hard for them.
Yeah, and I, you know, if I could turn back the clock, I would have been, you know, a lot more honest, you know, from the very beginning. But there was, you know, there was a lot.
I suppose you were trying to find the truth as well. So, like, in your head, you're trying to find the truth, so you don't know. It's not really a lie at the time. When you think back, you think, oh, well, I was lying to those people. But, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. This is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark, Sam and Hugh, and our guests today are Stephanie and Danny. But before we go back to their story, Sam just wants to talk about Facebook.
Yeah, I love Facebook. I think it's great. But one thing I'm really focusing on today is that I've actually set up a discussion on our Facebook board. So anyone who's got any kind of feedback or information or kind of anything, any questions as well, we'll get back to you. And also there'll be a nice interesting kind of chat and interaction on there as well. So just go to the Facebook page, which is...
Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, and you can get involved.
Now, you can SMS us as well, 0427JOY949, or you can send an email, onair@joy.org.au. If you've got any questions or any comments about Steph and Danny's story, we'll be happy to read them and ask them any questions as well. I'm sure Steph and Danny will be happy to answer, won't you?
Of course.
Anything you need to know. So before the last track, we were talking about your coming out. As part of the coming out story, you found some information out about your father. Would you like to talk about that?
I did. It goes back a couple of years, actually, before the coming out. I guess it would have been a couple of years before I had actually even gone to London. And I had... was going back east to visit family, and it was my first time back to visit family by myself without my mother and my brother along with me. And I was just about to leave for my trip, and my mom had said, well, before you go back, I need to tell you something. And I said, oh, okay, well, what's that? She goes, well, you're going to be there on your own. There might be something that might come up, and I wanted to prep you for it. And I said, all right. And she said, well, your father was gay. And I'm, of course, shocked. And that was why they had broken up, because they had gone from a good relationship, as far as I could see, as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, to divorcing the very next day. And so she had found out about his homosexuality and, of course, divorced. And it was, we were living, you've got to look back at that time, and it was a very conservative town, conservative time. It was a very different time than we have now. And she had found out, and she didn't want us to, my brother and myself, to know. She felt like it was again, a different time. She thought it was
something not to be talked about.
Not to be talked about, and she could, you know, if she could protect us from it, and, you know, didn't know whether it was a sickness or an illness. She wasn't prepped for it. She didn't have any history with anything like that, just that her husband was gay.
Yeah.
And, of course, for him, I can imagine at the time there could be no other way to go besides what had been laid out before, marriage and children and the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. And he had been assaulted not long after they divorced.
Mm-hmm.
He was assaulted in a parking lot, and not robbed, but just assaulted. And so they don't really know what had happened ultimately with what had actually happened. So, you know, it was a shock, to say the least. And so I had found out about all this. She had let me know all of this. And nobody had really talked about it, so it was swept under the rug for years and years and years.
Apart from your mother, who actually knew that your father was gay?
Well, I found out later that my grandmother knew, and she didn't really tell my mother. My uncles knew, and they didn't tell my mother.
So the whole family knew, just they all kept it secret from you.
Yeah, and family knew, and a friend actually had told her. Yeah.
Well, I suppose in a small town,
everybody knows
that it's going to get passed anyway.
Yeah,
so, I mean, it's gonna be a lot of gossip.
So, and you don't know, you know. Yeah. So it's a lot of gossip. So he had died fairly soon after she had found out about it, and then we had moved, and so it was just never talked about.
It was just a chapter in history.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of but it's forgotten. It just goes to show you how lucky, how fortunate we are that rights have moved up, and that we're living in a different era, because it could be very, very different.
So after all of this, when you came out to your mother,
yes,
obviously that dredged all of that back up, I presume.
So she had covered it up for 20 years, a little less. She had not thought about it, no therapy, nothing, had just kind of gone on. And with the death, didn't have to really deal with anything. And so she had moved on. So telling her that I was with Danny when I did, she had... was not happy mm-hmm. at all. She took her, it brought up everything with my dad. Yeah. And so it was very trying, and it took months and months and months. And right before we got married, she turned around, and she's done an about face, and now she's fantastic. She's coming out to stay, and she's very, very happy. She sees us together, and she realizes now. That's awesome. I think it's helped her to deal with her past with dad.
Awesome. So you brought up the wedding. So
yes.
It's not just the wedding. There are three of them.
Yes. Three weddings. Yay.
That's just taking...
I know.
And
we're hoping with Australia, you think this will move forward, and we'll have another wedding, and you're invited. we had a Burning Man wedding, which is always a fun thing.
That must have been amazing to be Burning Man. I've heard of it, but I've never actually been to it.
If you ever get an opportunity, it is amazing. What an amazing... the art and all the creativity out there, it's fantastic.
So what sort of ceremony did you have?
We have a big camp that we go with called Ashram Galactica. It's this big, about 100 people in this massive camp. Their theme camps out in Burning Man.
Right.
And so we had an event there, and everybody there, and it was really beautiful, everybody surrounding us.
Sounds
and it was
nice.
Gorgeous. It was gorgeous.
But we're going to have to come back to your story very soon.
No
this
problem.
Is On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Call Joy 1-300-JOY-949.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mark, Sam and Hugh, and we're speaking to Steph and Danny. And before the music started, we were actually talking about the wedding.
Well, the first of the weddings.
The first of the weddings, yes.
And just about that track you're playing, so what significance does that have for you?
That was our official first dance after the ceremony. So it was a celebratory song.
At the Burning Man,
in the middle
of Nevada Desert.
In the middle, with 50,000 of our closest friends. Yeah, it was fun.
It's been a pretty good experience.
It was great. Cool. It was great.
So after that wedding, you went on to the sort of the official one.
Yes, so we had started planning our wedding probably around September of 2008. And because it's Prop 8 had,
yep,
well,
so
actually it's pre-Prop 8.
Yeah,
pre-Prop 8, it was legal for gets to marry in California. And so we had been planning for a March wedding. The election was coming up November 4th, and there was a Prop 8. I don't know if some people know about that.
So Proposition 8 is the Los Angeles law that was brought in to
pretty much you can put anything on the ballot if you've got enough signatures, right? Yeah. So if you've got enough signatures, you can pretty much put anything as a proposition. Yeah. And so which just goes to show you if people really mobilize, what they can do. So
if a certain church mobilizes. So
yeah, certain church, Utah church. Anyway, they put Prop 8, which banned gay marriage.
Yep.
So we had planned for a March wedding, and it was November 4th that the election was going to happen with Prop 8 and Obama and the big election. So we had been planning for the march, and I said, okay, well, we've got a March wedding, and then Danny says, well, maybe we should get married before the election because it could pass. And I said, there's no way the people of California would allow this. And unfortunately, I think a lot of gay people in California felt the same thing.
Really?
Because really, they didn't mobilize as well as the opposition. And it was, they didn't do as much as, I didn't do as much as I could. And so it passed. So we went down to City Hall to try to get married. And if you can imagine, every gay person is trying to get married in all of California, right? Before the election day. And so we'd gone down 3 weeks before to say, let's get married. And they said, well, we're all booked until election day. And we said, well, if it's still legal if we get married on election day. And they said, yeah, I think so, at least till midnight. So we went down that day, got married. It was exciting. The plastic flowers and City Hall and the whole thing, and then it was exciting. Then we came home and watched from a friend's house the returns, and Obama got elected. Yay! Yeah. And then we watched the returns come back, and it was 49-51 passing Prop 8.
So that must have been a bit of a come down.
My God. It was like a knife in the gut. It was awful. Yeah. But so there was 18,000 couples that got married between June and when it passed. And they tried to annul the churches, or not, I'm sorry, the opposition tried to annul all of those marriages, but that didn't pass. But they did pass Prop 8. So we're kind
of
in
the
middle.
So the ones that got married in that period stayed. Are still technically, legally married.
Yeah, sort of, still so. Technically married. Yeah, yeah. But after that, you couldn't. So we did end up having a third wedding in Palm Springs, a beautiful house. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Yeah. So yeah, that was wonderful. So,
was your mother involved with the wedding?
My mother was involved. She came down and she was not going to be involved. And then she had a turnaround. That's she actually cool. spoke with Danny's father. Like,
right.
They went and had a cigarette outside. One day at a bar, and oh my gosh, my God, it's that accent, I think. I don't know, it's the Australian accent, I'm not sure. But she came back and said, you know what, he said something like, well, looks like no matter what happens, Claire, we're going to be family. Yeah. And she went, oh no. And then it turned around, so she actually came to the wedding, and my brother came to the wedding.
That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
And
yeah,
how about for you, Danny? Were your family fly over from Melbourne?
Yeah, it was wonderful. By that stage, my family was accepting of the situation and loved Steph, and it was great. So my dad came out from Australia, and my brother and his girlfriend as well, which was fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it was nice too. We had a couple of sweet words and in Claire, Steph's mum's ear, awesome. which changed her mind about coming to the wedding. So that was great.
Mm.
Awesome. Cool.
And I would say, of course, anytime they see us together, they realize that
it's the right thing.
It's the right thing. We're happy as clams.
Well, you certainly look happy together.
Thanks.
So there's going to probably be a fourth one then if we get it down here in Melbourne. Or
right. There's a rally coming up as well.
I think it's next week. Next week.
Rally. And that'll be good. And Prop 8 in the States
has been overturned.
Yeah. So it's got to go to what? It's going to go to one more, the Ninth Circuit Board.
Yep.
Court of Appeals, and then when that goes through, which it'll probably be opposed again, it'll go to the Supreme Court. Cool. And hopefully it'll be a national.
Don't you think it's terrible though that the gay community could get married and all this happens and all of a sudden we're treated like second class citizens again?
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, it's such a shame.
What was the reaction of the people where you were at the time, of the people you knew?
When it passed? Mm. Oh, I mean, everybody was just really... people just could not believe that it happened. And I felt like the community, the gay community, our friends... We really just didn't believe it would pass.
Just underestimated the opposition.
We underestimated it entirely. And in retrospect, it was absolutely the truth. Mm. And it was, there was a lot of scare campaigns on the other side of like, oh, you know, and that's, and yeah, it was shocking. It really was, and everybody was really upset with it. But it just goes to show you that you can't just rest on your laurels. You always have to be active. You really do. Yeah.
So I suppose that's why people take to the streets and keep it alive and going. And you mean you see them on the corner of Burke and Swanson every Saturday?
They're there this afternoon, actually.
Yeah, they're there every Saturday when I come into the studios. And
I love this. Yeah, I love this country. Yeah.
It's and you have to admire these people, because it's people like that that keep things fresh in everyone's mind and get things through and
it's key.
And do it.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure it's next Saturday. There's another equal marriage rally. So
I think there is. Yeah,
we should all turn up for that.
Yes. Mm.
So you guys need to have a fourth wedding now in Melbourne.
Yes.
That's the whole idea.
And there that's it.
Forget all the other reasons for why there should be gay marriage. We need one for Steph and Daddy to have a fourth wedding. That's the only excuse we need.
I mean, really, what else do you need, you know?
So talking about obviously coming to Melbourne. So you've arrived in Melbourne. How long have you been? A few months, really, isn't it?
Yeah, since the very end of December, beginning of January. Yeah. And this, I love the city.
Yeah.
Love it, love it, love it.
So you're not missing LA at all, or...?
No,
especially with the cold and the wet here.
No, I miss Mexican food, I'll tell you. The Taco Bills.
Do you like salsas or not?
What's that?
Do you like salsas, the place in Melbourne, or not?
Salsas? Yeah.
You need to try it.
Oh, it's I guess. It's maybe this is what it is, Mamacita's is wonderful.
That's a good dad for you.
So you've more or less decided to settle here then?
Yes, absolutely.
Can I ask you why you want to come and live in Melbourne?
Oh,
apart from the obvious.
I said Dani had to do her time in Los Angeles, and then we'll come
here.
She
had to prove herself.
Yeah, but it's such a beautiful, wonderful. I mean, the quality of life here is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The public transportation system alone. Oh my gosh, I just want to kiss the tram driver every time I get on a tram.
Why is
but
that?
But I don't. I don't. But I just, there's no public transportation in Los Angeles.
No?
And it's like a big parking lot.
Mm. Just cars and smog everywhere.
Yeah, I was working over there and we lived near Hollywood, and I worked in Santa Monica, and it's probably like a 10-kilometer drive, and it would take me over an hour each way in traffic to get each way.
Is that because of the sheer numbers? Like there's a lot of people driving to work?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the only way to get around, and it's all set up for freeways and no public transport, so... Yeah, that's really the only reason we moved back, was just so I didn't have to sit in traffic. I'm joking.
Any city that can close down a Starbucks, I'm stoked. Instead of opening them up, you're closing them down. Okay, I'll move there. That's where I'm moving.
So you like the coffee then, obviously.
Oh, the coffee is ridiculous. It's amazing. It's so good. I'm wrecked.
And this isn't another ad coming
out. I know, no. it's the food and the coffee, just it's fantastic. Mm.
So
it's in the arts, and I mean, it's such a vibrant city.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. There's always stuff to do.
Always.
Yeah.
How did you feel coming back, Dani?
I felt good, really good about coming back. It's was a little bit of a little difficult in the way that we had, you know, a great friendship circle back in LA, and I hadn't lived in Melbourne for quite some time, so it's, you know, it's always new place. It was almost new place in a lot of ways, in terms of, you know, finding new friendship groups and that kind of thing. But I've got family here, and again, you know, it's a great city, so it's been a really positive move.
Were you both able to pick up careers when you come back here?
I'm an acupuncturist by trade. Oh, wow. Yeah, so I was an acupuncturist. I had a practice in Los Angeles for years.
Right.
And now I've just gone through all of the registration process here in Victoria, which was...
You were saying that was quite onerous as well.
It is quite difficult. Trust that your practitioners are very well qualified if they've had to deal with the Chinese Medicine Registration Board.
Really?
But so I'm
passed with flying colors, though.
Yes, I did.
So what was the difficult part?
It's just lots of exams.
Oh, so you had to sit exams.
Yeah, to sit exams. It's clinical exams, written exams, and all of this. Mm. And, you know, it's a 4.5-year education all put into one exam, or it's a couple of exams. But, yeah, it's just it's a lot of information to know.
Oh.
And but, yeah, so I'm set up.
You set up your own practice?
Yeah, I'm at the Abbotsford Convent.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in Middle Park too, Vitality.
And if people are interested in knowing more about acupuncture, can they contact you?
Please, I love answering questions about acupuncture. Yes,
what
absolutely.
Is it? Oh, well, I've got a question. What does it actually do when you stick all these little needles in people?
Well, it's on the basis that that you've got meridians in your body, and there's energy, qi we call it, and Chinese medicine call it qi, and it's like the life force, and it's going through these meridians. They're almost like little freeways through the body.
Okay.
And by keeping them going and not stagnating around any points, you are keeping yourself healthy.
Right.
And so acupuncture is about keeping all of that in balance. So that's what it's for.
Does it hurt sticking all those little needles in?
It doesn't. I think mentally people get really wound up about the idea of needles, but the needles are thinner than hairs. You can fit like 7 or 8 of my needles into one hypodermic needle.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't hurt. Yeah. I may feel like a pinch maybe.
I've done it a couple of times. And
what's your?
Yeah, I'm the same. It's not like having an injection or anything like that. It just, like I said, maybe feel a pinch sometimes. And
sometimes you don't feel anything.
Yeah. There's a few times that's happened. It's like, is it done?
I think it's the idea of it.
What about you, Danny? Have you picked up your career here?
Yeah, absolutely. In the US, I was working for an environmental nonprofit organization doing development and fundraising for them. And so I'm continuing in that line of work here. I'm consulting at the moment to a couple of different organizations. So it's great.
Excellent. Well, it's good that the two of you are here and have picked up your careers again, and you've qualified again as an acupuncturist.
Good luck with the practice.
Oh, thank you.
So that's Orange Room for another week. Coming up next on Joy is Kaz with the Women's Zone. We will be back next week at the same time, 2 p.m. on Saturday, with more insights into the GLBT multicultural community. Thanks to Michael on the support for his help today. And of course, don't forget to check Orange Ribbon's new Facebook page, which is Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.